right, and we're back for another episode of the Lakers Fast Break podcast. It's Gerald Glassford coming right back at you here from Lakers Fast Break. We truly appreciate everyone out there listening to all of our great shows. And if you can, please give us that 5-star review on Apple Podcasts. Plus, if you could like, share, subscribe, or do anything that you can to follow us here at the Lakers Fast Break, it is truly appreciated. We're back in the middle of a road trip for the Lakers. The Lakers having a successful game against the Milwaukee Bucks. They clearly made a statement for a lot of things, not only with LeBron and his MVP status, making a firm stamp there, but the Lakers solidifying themselves as the team to beat in the NBA with a nice victory in Milwaukee. And here today to talk about what's going on with the Lakers with 5 great things is a good man indeed. You got to check him out at Lakerholics.com. He's got his great 5 great things articles up each and every time out. When you can, check it out. It's an awesome read. It is Jamie Sweet. And Jamie, we missed you last night, but we got you here today. Want to thank you so much for stopping by, and we truly appreciate it.
Thank you, Gerald. I miss being there. I like debating with Laker Tom. I know he can be a little bit cantankerous at times, less so after a loss, kind of.
Yes, yes. But L. Rob was there. Yep. Sean Grice, he grew 5 inches, but he was there as well.
Nice.
I just felt so tiny compared to where he was sitting on the
other way. Because he does this whole, like.
Yes, yes. Big shout out to Magic Man and his growth. We appreciate everyone checking in with us last night. But you know what? The Lakers, again, are coming up on Chicago. Second game of the road trip coming up here, sec. But they do have the NBA's best record at 12-4. I know that a lot of people are looking at them as the team to beat in the NBA like we are. So I want to hear your thoughts on the Lakers and how they're doing with 5 great things from you, my friend. So what are you looking at when it concerns the Lakers right now?
I mean, always, especially we're coming up, I think, about to where Frank Vogel himself said he would consider the season to be the early part of the season would just be an extension of training camp, right? And I think that we've started to see that that's manifesting in a couple of different ways. One, we're starting to see some pretty solid just rotations that come out. You come in and come out on the minute marks, within 30 to 40 seconds. You know, LeBron's out in the first 5, back. All the rotations are starting. You're seeing a lot less THT and less garbage time. Little things like that where you can tell that it's time to, like, buckle down and treat the rest of the season like the regular season.
Yeah.
You could even make an argument that that happened after the San Antonio game when the Laker defense sort of finally kicked into gear. On a more consistent basis. I'll bet if you ask Frank Vogel, he'd say they're probably about 75-80% of the way, maybe 85% of the way there. But you still see some blown coverages, especially in transition. We traded offensive skill for defensive skill, which is a well-known, I think, and well-debated point to this point.
Especially with Laker Tom.
I know. Well, I mean, in terms of, like, the numbers are good. The numbers are good. But there are worrisome, the type of breakdowns that we have are the kind that are a little bit worrisome because it's a matter of focus as opposed to knowledge. Guys are just sort of losing, and I think it's kind of built into people's personality. You know, Trez is a high energy guy, but I think that also means that sometimes, like, little details maybe escape him on the court in the moment. You know, like, I had to drop back. That was my guy to drop back and cover to the rim. That was my guy to, like, not follow out to the 3-point line, but say, or to, you know, little things that will hopefully get ironed out over the course of the season. And, you know, basically, I think the Lakers are in a good spot. Leading the league at this point isn't that incredible of an accomplishment, I feel like. Not to throw shade on it or anything. It's quite an accomplishment, but this season is like the bubble. Like, there's nothing like it. Like, the way home teams have literally no home advantage, I think, impacts this season a great deal and impacts a team like the Lakers a little bit less because, again, if they go into one of these states where they let people into the venue, like we saw in the Houston game, a lot of still show up wearing Laker jerseys. Which is incredible to see, you know, in the middle of a pandemic. I'm going to go out and support the team. So that's kind of interesting to see. But I feel like, you know, I was just looking at the standings before we started this, and the best four teams in the league are probably in the West. Maybe even best five. The only two in the East that I think have a legit shot at coming all the way through, just after watching, or it's early to predict this, but if somebody put a gun to my head and say, tell me who's going to, you know, do well in the playoffs, I see Philadelphia and Boston, as if they're all things being healthy, you know, all, health being with all the players, if all teams, especially the Lakers, but if all the teams come into the playoffs healthy and go get through the season, you know, for the most part healthy, I think Philadelphia and Boston are going to be one of the two that comes out of the East. I think that Milwaukee's going to have a problem in the playoffs. I think that the West playoffs are going to be ridiculous. There's going to be some fodder out East that just kind of gets mowed down early. I still see Miami as having more fight in them than they've shown, and I'm not sure what's going on over there. It seems like, I don't know if this all shooting abandoned that team or what's going on, but they need a witch doctor to come out and clear the bad juju over there or something. Mm-hmm. To come back to specifically the Lakers, I would say that, you know, the five things, or one of the things that impressed me the most over this first start, and I guess, is this the Grammy trip that we're on technically right now, right?
Technically, yeah. Technically, like, you could say that. So I know San
Antonio. Did the league do that on purpose? Like, did they, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't know if they did that on the purpose. I know with San Antonio, they specifically requested the NBA that they still have a rodeo trip. I heard that the other day that they requested that. I know the Clippers will also be in a couple days, actually early next week, will go on their 7-game road trip. So I don't know if they would just want to simulate, you know, that part of the season, because it would be right around now because of what's going on with the Grammys. You know, it would normally be the situation that would be the case, but I do know at least the Spurs ask for that as a bonding measure, you know, for when, you know, the team gets closer with each other when they're out on the road so many games.
I think there's a lot to that. I agree with that a lot. And I wouldn't be surprised to hear that the Lakers or that the league kind of looked at that and said, we should do somehow, if there was some sort of correlation between the two, because it just makes sense. Because I remember thinking, like, 7-game road trip, late January. Gosh, isn't that like, I'm sure the Grammys will happen, but it won't be at Staples. You know, it won't be the production that it normally is. They won't have to shut down a big chunk of LA for a couple of days. So that to me was kind of interesting. You know, the Lakers have just been dominant on the road, I think, because of how successful – I mean, it started last season. They were a great road team last season. I want to say only one game worse, technically, on the road than at home. I might be off by a game or two on that one. Or maybe
Lakers were the best road team in the NBA last year, which, yeah. You know –
But I feel like their home and away record was maybe only a game off. I can't remember. I could look, but anyway, point being is that and then their success in the bubble was, other than the seeding games, which I think was more just a getting everybody warmed up. You know, I don't think Frank or anybody on the team, once they locked up the one seed, they what was the caring other than let's tune up, you know?
Yeah.
Which they did. They tuned up. And once they dealt with Portland, which I thought the bookend series of the playoffs, those were the two hardest, Portland and Miami. But I think that the Lakers have and this is, I don't know if this is LeBron or Frank or AD or the melding of all three, but like there's something about this Lakers team on the road that somehow seems to just get stronger, more focused. I don't know who out there has Spectrum Sportsnet and watches the games that way. That's how I watch them. And the pregame shows for those are always fantastic. It's got Big Game James. It's like the old KCAL 9 one, kind of.
Yes.
For those of us who remember the KCAL 9 era.
I remember indeed.
Oh, man, that was a classic. Everybody, Channel 9, road games, come on over. It's very free-flowing. You know, they got Ali Clifton, who's been following LeBron since his Cleveland days. But last night they had Derek Fisher on Fish, and he was talking about how he, as a player, preferred playing on the road. He like you said, guys bonding together better, tighter bond. He's like, with COVID, there's even less to do now. Like, everybody's just going to hang out and talk, you know, just bond or talk about the game or either one. And then he also goes, it's again, in COVID, it's a little different. But he goes, but there's nothing like quieting a building down, you know, beating a team at home when you're on the road and just hearing the building going, And so I think that, that this Laker team has that like kind of Fisher toughness. I think they've kind of, which you could argue was also a Kobe toughness because Kobe loved to play on the road. So this team has that a gritty and tough mentality that doesn't necessarily show up in this on the on-court play, like how like a Memphis or a 90s Knicks team, you know, it was like ruggedly physical with you on the court, but there's like just a stable mentality, I guess, or a focused mentality, I should say, when they're on the road, which is a huge strength. And I'm wondering how it'll get tested when there's people in the stands. I'm sure if it improves, gets better, stays the same. Should that happen anytime soon?
Hopefully, well, yes. Just to give you a heads up, the Lakers were 27-9 on the road last year.
Yes.
They were 25-10 at home, but they did tie for the best record on the road last year with Toronto. So, yeah, they were very good on the road last year. Obviously, they enjoyed it. They prospered from it, and hopefully we'll find the same things here. In fact, they've off to a great start, 8-0 so far on the road. So they're finding great success, the great bonding, I guess. The way that the league is structuring how teams go on the road is helping to solidify the mindset for the Lakers when they go out on the road. It seems to be much more of a focus, a little bit better focus that they have on the road than they do at home. They seem to really have those lapses when it comes to their home right now and the way they're playing there. But again, not too much to argue about when you're 12-4 and leading the NBA right now. I know one of the things I wanted to ask you is in regards to points in the paint, which was a sign yesterday where they really got beat with a lot of points in the paint. Now, they did win the game by a substantial margin because of the substantial margin from the three-point area, but they did beat the Bucks because of that. But it wasn't due to points in the paint because – the Milwaukee feasted on the Lakers inside. Do you see an issue there? Because I know you and I have brought up to Laker Tom, and unfortunately sometimes the Laker Tom, it falls upon deaf ears, but when it comes to after Marc Gasol and with AD not having that performance yet from the defensive end that we know he can give us, you know, is there something missing there? I know Montrezl Harrell as a backup center, great offensively, but allowing him to go ahead and do what he needs to do on the offensive end, you need to go ahead and find possibly someone that can help you inside and take some of that burden away, because the Lakers are giving up too many points inside, I think.
I agree, especially lately, but yes, I agree. I think that's going to be, I mean, in all things, this is, I feel like this axiom is true. To get something, you have to give something up. And, you know, we improved our offense, and as a result, I think aspects of our defense suffered. Again, if you just look at like the raw on the surface numbers, it looks good. You know, our blocks are about where they were last year. Our steals are about where they were last year. Where I think we're down is fast break points, especially points in transition off of turnovers. But I feel like because we lost two excellent paint players, and not to say that Trez isn't an excellent paint player, but he's just smaller than either Dwight or JaVale was. And that matters in the paint. You know, those inches matter more in the paint than they do on the perimeter. And it's going to show itself up in stats like this. I mean, I will say that we have played two teams. The Warriors, losing that Warriors game, I kind of feel like was as good as for us as it was bad. Like, it was a good barometer of like, hey, you're not just going to waltz in. Not every team is Houston. Not every team is OKC. You know, we got there's other teams out there that have a much higher ceiling than those teams do for this season. So it was a good reminder, maybe as much for the fans as it was for the team, more probably for the fans than it was the team. I think it's going to be a problem if, in the playoffs based on matchup, because there's not, in a way, like we don't have a great, you either have Gasol, the answer is more AD at the five in the playoffs, I guess. And that's the only answer, because, you know, Mark's not going to be finishing a bunch of lobs. You know what I mean? Like, he's not going to be like cutting from the top of the key into the paint and finishing off a pick and roll from LeBron or Schroeder or anybody else. Unless it's like, you know, during warmups, but you know, he just doesn't have that. That's not his game. He doesn't have that kind of lift to his game. He's just, that's not what he does. And same with Trez. I mean, Trez is going to finish lobs, but not the kind that you can throw up over the defense that JaVale and Dwight could go get. Again, that's where those inches are going to matter a little bit. Like, you have to put the ball more into the area or the zone where more defenders can affect, you know, knock the ball off its flight path and so on. So whether they steal or not, inconsequential, well, at least in terms of finishing lobs. But I think that we'll be able to overcome it because we can play 80 at the five. And I just don't expect that to happen much during the regular season. I think that's exactly why we have Mark. I think exactly why we have Trez. I think if we do pick up another player, it'll be a big once the rosters expand here in a I want to say about a month, right? February 24th, I want to say.
Yeah.
I think we'll pick up a big. I think we'll see who's left.
I know Laker Tom said something about early March, the Lakers not being able to get someone, but I know it's, you know, as it gets closer, I know it's going to be clarified a little bit more.
100%. Yeah. It's not soon. We've got at least a month, I feel like. So I think we'll go for another big, even if it's just like a one-dimensional, I set screens and dunk big, because that's going to buy AD time, not banging with bigs until the playoffs when it matters. And that's how that road's going to go. I mean, I know there's a lot of people who are like, oh, AD can play more five. And I just don't see him doing it during the regular season. Not unless like a playoff berth was on. You know what I mean? Like, oh, we're talking like one or two seating, like whatever, who cares really? One would be nice. Two's fine. But I don't see him as wanting to do that in any way. Like, he's said he doesn't want to do it. The Lakers have made moves to allow him not to do it 2 years running. I thought this season when he said that he would be willing to play more at the five was kind of a big personal step for him, because at least it's different than what he'd said in years past, in that he always said, I want to be I'm a four, I want to play the four, and so on and so forth. So the regular season, especially against teams like Milwaukee, teams that have dynamic paint scorers, big and small, those are going to be a problem for us. But losing in the points in the paint like we did to Golden State was different, I thought. Like, I expect Giannis to score in the paint. I expect Milwaukee to be, you know, deliver a lot of body blows. Milwaukee's going to have problems in the playoffs because they have a similar issue. I think they're going to have trouble scoring until they hand the keys of the offense over to Drew Holiday, to be honest, which means Giannis's MVP triplicate probably takes a hit, but I think it would be better for them in the playoffs because you can't marginalize Drew Holiday like that. He's too good. I thought that was kind of one of their – Giannis is a predictable half court game he's prone to offensive fouls that a couple I thought went against us that ought not to have last game.
Well, I'm just not sure that the Bucks have a consistent last minute scorer or a person that you can go ahead and
agreed
consistently count on at the end of games. I know the offense right now of anyone is now dependent on Chris Middleton, and that's you know, concerning for him and also the Bucks, because you can't count on Giannis because Giannis doesn't have those capabilities in his arsenal. Drew, I'm not sure Drew scares teams enough as a player. I think he's more feeds off the ball and feeds off the distribution. I know he can handle the ball and make those plays, but I think he's better off the catch. And I also think Chris Middleton is better off the catch. I think that the Milwaukee Bucks are missing some, similar to what we see with the Clippers, where they're just missing that playmaker that can go ahead and send it off to a Kawhi or Paul George. The same thing goes for Milwaukee, where I think that they, you know, maybe you're right. Maybe they should give it to Drew to be able to go ahead and pass off to Chris Middleton or pass it off to Giannis, you know, and set up the play for them a little bit better. But I'm not sure even if he is, you know, totally equipped to go ahead and do that. I think he's also better off the catch as well.
I think that's valid. I think that I guess what I was thinking was like a more of a power sharing structure like LeBron and Dennis have on our team, right? Where do they make Dennis take the ball up every time and initiate the offense? Certainly not. And neither does LeBron like demand the ball. And I think they do a good job of like splitting it 50-50. I was surprised Milwaukee didn't make more of a run at Rondo. Because that's like who they need. They don't need a guy who wants to shoot. They just well, need
unfortunately, you know, LeBron. Unfortunately, Rondo has reverted back to regular season Rondo right now for the Atlanta Hawks. So,
oh, every year he'll be regular season Rondo. No, no, yeah, you save him for the playoffs. You save him for the playoffs. You might as well pay him to like go to Cancun for like 2 months. Be like, look, man, just come back ready. You know, we'll lie for you. Come back ready.
This is Raphael from NBADraftJunkies.com. And you are listening to the Lakers Fast Break.
Check out what's been going on with the Pop Culture Cosmo Show and the PCC Multiverse.
People are just losing their minds trying to consume Marvel products right now. And I don't blame them. This is some of the best entertainment you can get on TV and big screen right now.
If something's going to be successful or not, they look at the mentions, they look at the likes, they look at the retweets and the tweets and the subtweets and the tweet tweets. And they look at all of that to say, okay, this is actually going to garner a lot of attention.
Is it going to be enough, though? I think the fish out of water syndrome might be enough for somebody like us, because it's going to be hilarious to watch two stoner kids we saw barely make it through high school now live in a society that they fully don't understand because they've been stuck in a decade and never came out of it.
Facebook stars, not ninja stars, okay? I know how some people take things literally, so don't throw ninja stars at us, but like the Facebook stars. Click on those. That's what we want.
That's the Pop Culture Cosmo Show.
And the PCC Multiverse.
Catch our shows on Worldwide Radio 7 days a week and wherever you get your podcasts. Big shout out to Saul Adams and Alex Lannon, both are saying hello. So I wanted to go ahead and thank both of them for watching. We truly appreciate it.
What's up, Alex?
But I wanted to go ahead and before we head on out, I know you have some thoughts on the rest of the Lakers road trip, but I also wanted to go ahead and get you prepared because today is the 15-year anniversary of Kobe Bryant's 81-point game. So before we head on out, I wanted you to go ahead and hear some thoughts. First off, on the Lakers' rest of the road trip, how do you think it's going to fare out for the rest of the six games?
I think it'll be hard for us to lose more than one game at this point. Milwaukee was one of the games I had as being tougher than I thought it would be. It was less tough than I thought it would be. I thought Milwaukee would do a little bit better. I think that we should beat Chicago. I love playing Chicago these days because so many people wanted to see us go hard after Zach LaVine. And I'm kind of glad we didn't. I like Dennis Schroeder better than Zach LaVine. I like Schroeder and Trez more than I like a Zach LaVine, I guess is what I should say. Because I feel like that's about the equitable difference in salaries and possibly even role. I think, there's some trap games that you kind of got to worry about. For some reason, I'm worried about that Detroit game. I feel like that could be a game where we just don't have it.
I was kidding that I thought Kuzma was going to be showing off in Detroit because he's from the Michigan area. But I wanted to go ahead and mention to you, Alex Lannon, he says he agrees with your assessments on that. And right now the Lakers are in such a groove. It reminds him of the 2000 Lakers. When they lose, it seems like they don't truly show up. Obviously, that's the case because it seems on almost every occasion when they've lost that they just haven't put their effort into it. It's not because they're not the better team. It's just they're not the team that wants to go ahead and win that game specifically that time. So their focus seems to go away from time to time, and that's what you have when you have such great teams.
Well, also code for LeBron and AD had a bad game, right? Like if LeBron and or AD has a bad game, winning the game gets exponentially tougher. It puts a lot of pressure on guys who it's just not their role on this team, if on any team. Other trap game, I thought I had Cleveland circled as a surefire win. I'm vacillating on that now. Cleveland's playing pretty tough. And, you know, East Coast teams are tough. It's going to be a tough road trip. I still think we'll win six games. I think I'm calling Detroit. I feel like we're going to lose against Detroit. I don't know why. It's just in the brain.
Your prediction on Detroit just probably irks Laker Tom somewhere out there, but go ahead.
Well, no, it's all good. The only reason I say that it's going to be it's going to be a back-to-back, and we'll have played Cleveland twice, so we might be kind of beat up a little bit. There's, you know, those two, Cleveland's tough this year. I was surprised at how tough they played Brooklyn, but Brooklyn's a mess. Brooklyn's going to be a mess with all three of those guys. I think that is a giant hot mess waiting to happen. I don't know who's going to melt down first. My personal prediction is Kyrie Irving. Just because Kyrie almost has like a Jim Brown-esque 1 foot out the door on the NBA already. You know what I mean? Like just, he knows it's like where he makes his money, but he's bored or annoyed or whatever, which is, you know, that's his prerogative. It's his life. But
yeah,
I find it incredible. But, you know, people are who they are. I don't know that they would trade Kyrie Irving. I think that in the end, it might be necessary for the ball to move in a way that makes a basketball team work in the playoffs. They'll put up 150 points on anybody during the regular season. I don't see them doing that. Same problem small ball Houston had. You know, I don't see the offense working the same way in the playoffs.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's just been so great talking to you. But again, before we head on out, 15 years ago today, there was a great game that I actually got to see. I don't know if it wasn't on Prime Ticket yet or Fox Sports West at that point in time.
It was Fox Sports West, and I know exactly where I was. You go first. You go first.
Well, I was watching the game here in Las Vegas, I know, at that point in time, and I just happened to tune into it. I wasn't catching all the games because of work, and I got a chance to tune in. And I know it was Paul Sunderland who does the games now, who wasn't back then. You know, it wasn't the regular TV analyst at that point in time. So he was picking up the game, and I know it wasn't the greatest call in the world. That was the only thing that I think stands out to me. I think when I go ahead and I watch the game, but to see Kobe just go off and go off and go off. And did they win that game? Yes, they beat Toronto. I remember that distinctly. I remember Jalen Rose being beaten time and time. And he actually gave up on defense. And if anybody out there wants to go ahead and say, yeah, I'm out in Las Vegas, Alex. Yes, Vegas, Sin City and all that. But I want to go ahead and say this. If you ever want to see a player give up on defense, just check out Jalen Rose's job against Kobe. And I know that there were other defenders there as well who tried to defend Kobe, but to no avail. You know, it just was one of those things where Kobe was in the zone and Kobe was just putting up every shot he could on that team.
That year of Kobe was like one of my favorite basketball seasons of all time, just because every night you tuned in thinking like, because that was 2 years after the year before Shaq, I guess it was 3 years before that, before the last year that we won was Shaq. Yeah. After that year was when I was like, you know what, I'm done criticizing some NBA players for the way that they play the game, because they've proven that they put in the work. They've proven that they're dedicated to their craft. Who am I to question an expert? Like, I'm not going to stand over the plumber and be like, are you sure you should be using the snake that way? You know what I mean? Like, I think there's an interesting disconnect between fans and professional athletes that is unique to that relationship. Like, you wouldn't criticize a professional person for fixing a car unless they did it badly. You know, if your car got broken, that's different. But like, I don't know. There's just this funny thing where people are constantly being, well, I don't know if you don't, you know, this is a guy who probably shoots 1,000 jump shots a day, you know, wakes up at the crack of dawn to like run. Yeah, stop with the nitpicking. Like, did he take too many shots? Sure. Should he have passed like 3 more times? Maybe. I mean, would Shannon Brown really have made that 3-pointer? Who knows? You know, it's not a sure thing. And I remember I was at a place in Long Beach. I was living in Long Beach at the time. So there was a bar around the corner from my house that was owned by the original drummer for Social Distortion. Great guy. Hell of a man. And they were always nice enough. Like, everybody, no, there weren't. It was a kind of a grittier bar, not a lot of true Laker fans. I went at certainly not a sports bar. Yeah. So if there was something weird on TV, people usually had like a movie or something on one side of the bar, but it was a cool bar. It could be one side. And I'd always say, I don't need the sound on. Like, I just want to be able to look up the game, see what's going on, have a couple beers, eat some food, bomb out. And I didn't leave because like, it just, Kobe just was so like, it was just every quarter was just like, you know, 17 points, 20, you know, just like just huge quarter after quarter. And it was just an incredible thing to watch, because at one point you're just like, you just want Kobe to shoot it. Right? And you could see the other Lakers feeling the same way, right? Like, Lamar would go in and have almost an uncontested layup and throw a pass out to Kobe for a well-contested three that he would make. Terrible yeah. basketball, right? Terrible team basketball, like the worst team basketball that season.
Well, a good portion of the game they were behind, So they needed the points as much as they can get, because the rest of the team wasn't shooting early on very well. So he actually, you know, in a way necessitated until the very end, where it just became a point where, like you said, they were going ahead and really forcing the ball to Kobe in any way, shape, or form.
Right. No, agreed. The modern era of basketball, I could see like a Harden or a Durant, maybe even incredibly a Trae Young, go off for like 20 threes in a game somehow, hit 20 threes incredibly, right? If they shot 35 threes
Steph
in a game.
Steph Curry.
Right.
Steph Curry.
How can I, 100%, right, totally. Like if one of those guys went off in a game and like somehow got to the line 15 to 20 times and hit like 20 threes, 15 to 23, which is a ridiculous number, but the way the modern game is played, not, I think, out of the realm of possibility. And somebody could challenge 81. Only if they hit a ton of threes, like more than 60%, and if they got to the line. Because I think Kobe went to the line 20-something times in that game additionally. Like, he just was relentless. Like, yeah. If you look at, like, how, like, he dominated the basketball game from an offensive standpoint. And that was one of those Laker teams where I just felt so bad for Kobe, because like after he and Lamar, there wasn't a lot there. That was the hope that was Andrew Bynum before his knees were destroyed by a Lamar Odom and a Kobe Bryant collision, respectively.
Exactly. So that's such a shame.
And well, what does Smush Parker bring in tonight? Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like the fact that Smush Parker was probably the third best player on that team is fairly distressing. You can understand why Kobe then made the demand the next year. Like, I'm done. This is not my fate. I will not play out my years like this. And it's understandable.
Yeah. But again, good fortunes were on the way after that with Pau Gasol and some little bit better decision-making. So I'm happy to see that happened. And of course, on a historic day like today, where Kobe did reach an 81-point milestone, just a few days later from now, the unfortunate passing, it'll be 1 year on the Tuesday. Yep. So I know that's going to be a very troubling day for all Lakers fans and all NBA fans out there, as we still can't hardly believe that Kobe, you know, has left us. And I just want to hear some final thoughts on Kobe from you, my friend, and what he's meant to you in your life before we head on out.
You know, early on in his career, it was funny because Kobe was a little bit younger than me. I mean, several years younger than me, I should say. But, you know, when I was growing up, I remember the first few teams he was on, the first few seasons he was on the team, as I should say, I thought that was when I was at the height of, I would say personally, being nitpicky about what NBA player, how they played. And then when Shaq came to the team, it seemed like, and I remember also thinking that Del Harris was probably one of the worst coaches on planet Earth, just because of how he managed that team. When they finally fired him and brought Kurt Rambis in, I thought, all right, we got a chance. And I think that was during the lockout season, if I recall. Thankfully, they didn't give the job to Kurt. I know he was up for it, but they ended up going with a different guy who was also tall and white-haired, named Phil Jackson. And the rest has been history for as the Lakers dominated the aughts of basketball for the most part. I think that you can learn a lot from how, as high profile person as Kobe Bryant was, how they lived their life, how they made mistakes, how they tried to rectify those mistakes, how they grew from those mistakes. And in all things, when people leave us, you know, well before what most people consider to be an acceptable age for dying, which I guess is like your late 70s, early 80s, mid 80s. I don't know.
How about 100? Let's shoot for 100.
I don't know if I don't know if I want to live to be 100. That sounds exhausting. I've got to go make tea. Hold on. Take me a half hour to get over to the stove. Sure, I'll have tea eventually. It'll be delicious when I get it. His obvious support for like women's basketball that I think probably greatly grew out of that, along with having daughters of his own. I think having daughters of his own, like if you don't allow for people to make mistakes and grow from them, then there's not much of a society worth fighting for. But it's not an easy thing for humans to admit that they've made a mistake. And especially for somebody like that, who his entire brand and persona was about willing things to be the way you wanted them to be. And to be able to have the humility and the insight, personal insight, to grow from whatever happened in Colorado. It's just going to be one of those things that's always going to be with him, along with 81 points and being a five-time NBA champion and an incredible NBA player and having a tragic ending to his life that honestly, like, every day, like, there's a moment where it's not that, like, it's just like when I think about somebody like that, then I think about people in my own life who've, you know, moved on before I was ready to have them leave it. And it's just one of those things where the potential of what could be is always what's missed, I think, more than what the person was or is. And to that end, Kobe already had accomplished so very much with his life that I think one of the things that makes people the most, I don't want to say sad or upset or you know, melancholy, is like to think what more could have been, how much more could he have grown? How much more could he have helped influence and bring about, you know, positive things in the world? And we'll never know now. And it's a sad thing.
It is a very sad thing indeed. But again, the 1 year anniversary of his passing will come up next week. Wanted to go ahead and also mention that this is 15 years ago today that he did score 81 points. We're signaling the ref for a quick timeout, but we'll be back with more of the Lakers Fast Break Podcast. Hey, Lakers fans. Looking for the best place to go for up-to-date news, information, original videos, articles, podcasts, opinion pieces, and discussions about the world champion Los Angeles Lakers? Well, look no further than LakerHolics.com. With a legion of followers always there talking about everything Lakers and the NBA, there's no better place to go to share your fandom as the team heads toward another championship run. So stop by and be part of the conversation today at LakerHolics.com. If you got a question for Jamie Sweet, just go ahead and pop on by LakerHolics.com where you'll hear him. You'll also get a chance to check out what Laker Tom's doing, five great things from Jamie Sweet, whatever Magic Man is up to, because you know he's always up to something. L. Rob and the whole gang is there. There's a great group of people that are Lakers fans that always want to talk Lakers. So stop on by LakerHolics.com or our ever-growing Facebook group, LakerHolics, as well. If you have any questions for me, it's at LakersFastBreak or LakersFastBreak@yahoo.com. But Jamie, with five great things, we truly appreciate you stopping by today. Cannot thank you enough for doing so. Any last thoughts on the way out?
Hey, it's a new day. We're day three into a new administration. Everybody stay safe. Everybody get vaccinated as it becomes available to you. And let's try to get back to a place where we can go inside and watch some basketball together, man. Like, that's enough of this. Enough of this stuck at home in a little bubble. It's driving me crazy. I'm over it.
We need to have vaccines first, but that's another story. I mean, that's
it's happening. Yeah, it's all coming someday.
Someday indeed. I hope so, my friend. I'm waiting. My arm is ready. My arm's been ready. My arm is long been ready for it. Exactly. Yeah, exactly. Right there for you. Shine up the arm right there. Shine it up good because it's ready to get vaccinated any point in time. But it is Jamie Sweet.
Exactly. Jared, I want to thank you. I want to thank you for helping bring us all together and fostering these great discussions and sharing your time with us.
Oh, no problem. Least I can do as a fellow Lakers fan. Looking forward to more great things, more great arguments. Excuse me, discussions.
Mom,
as always. But hopefully more cookies as well. But I will say this, that it is always a pleasure talking to you, Jamie, and also Laker Tom and everybody out there that stops by the show. We truly appreciate it. But it is Jamie Sweet catches five great things each and every week at LakerHolics.com. Well, Jamie, it's been great having you back on the show. We truly appreciate it. Hope you can join us upcoming for some post games here on the road trip. And looking forward to your thoughts right here on the Lakers Fast Break.